Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride's here. Yeah, she's here a day early. And this is a really special week this week. And I know it's a dream come true for me. I know it is for you too, folks, because we've already heard, this will be the second time in 3 days that we've heard from Joan Pride. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and a pretty cool lady. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Twice in 1 week.
Boy, you're pretty exciting.
You're all a Twitter, aren't you?
Much excitement.
You're all a Twitter.
Right.
Joan was on the show on Monday, ladies and gentlemen, as many of you will remember. In this hour, she and Paula Lovell were here talking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
That's right.
And you guys did a great job. I was so proud of both of you. And and thank you so much for all that you did and all that you continue to do to help raise awareness for breast cancer and to get women informed and involved, to motivate them to see your courage and your strength of will and your survivorship. That's important, isn't it?
Well, and I think Paula's survivorship is important because, I mean, I'm not to downplay my own story, but she was a small business. She is a small business owner.
She is, yeah.
So she had to keep her business going.
That's
and
right.
Fight breast cancer at the same
That's
time.
That's exactly right.
And I think she said, I mean, I'd taking nothing away from her, but it sounds like she had a really terrific staff that stepped up and,
they did.
Helped out.
They did, but that's a testament to her coolness
to her, exactly.
And her leadership. I mean,
right.
that she can build an organization like that, and she's
Collect
a single
the right people and motivate them.
Well, she's a single mom. Her son had just gone away to college.
Yeah.
So she was, in terms of the family, she didn't have. I mean, she had some. Her parents were involved, but she was. It was a very courageous story, and I appreciate you pointing that out, and also her being prepared to come here and tell us about it. And it's still October, folks, so it's still Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're going to keep talking about that. And ladies, as I said before, please get checked. Please get checked. Please get checked.
Right.
Joan, let's move on and talk about what's going on in the big city these days. Lots of excitement happening.
Boy, can't even keep up.
I can't keep up.
Yeah.
Joan, you remember that song, It's Raining Men?
Yeah.
Well, it must be raining leaks in Washington D.C. because now there are leaks about the leaks, aren't there?
Yeah, it's really hard to keep up.
Well, and you know, in a way, it's almost an advantage to the Republicans because it's so complicated. Most of us out here in the hinterlands are saying we can't keep up, so why try to track it? However, there are going to be some serious. It appears, Joan, the smart people up there are saying that it looks like there may be some indictments.
Maybe, and maybe as early as today, we're not sure. And of course, what we're referring to is the situation over a CIA agent named Valerie Plame Wilson.
Not to be called Flame, but Plame.
Flame, I know, please. Yeah. And in any case, that which is another joke. But this is all revolving around whether Bush administration officials leaked her name or leaked her identity as a covert CIA agent to outside folks, particularly the media.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have enough evidence, they being the prosecution, feel they have enough evidence to indict people, they will go ahead and indict because it is a crime to, quote-unquote, out a covert CIA agent.
But there's every chance that what they actually did could turn out to be not as consequential, or at least not to rise to the indictment level, but the fact that they may have misstated who told what to who when to a grand jury, meaning that they could be conceived as having lied to a grand jury or given false testimony to a grand jury or to members of the law enforcement establishment, that actually could be what the indictments are about. Am I right?
Right.
About
the
that?
Indictments could be about perjury and obstruction of justice more than anything else. It's possible. We just don't know. I mean, this is all speculation right now.
It's rarely about the crime as it is the cover up.
Well, look at Watergate. Watergate's the classic example.
Right. Right. And of course, folks, we got to remember people are innocent until proven guilty. This is and when I use the word cover up, I only use that in a generic way. You know, Joan, for all we know, there was no no intent to cover anything up. There may have just been somebody misspoke, somebody misrepresented accidentally. That could have been the case.
Possible.
Yep, that could have been the case. So anyway, it's back to the lead. This is all leading back to the lead story of the Kiplinger letter this week. It's a tough day for the Republicans, isn't it?
Sure. And the interesting thing is, I think what this letter was talking about, even more things that are making it difficult. And we reference scandals very briefly, but we also talk about the Iraq War, everything that's going on with the hurricanes, including Katrina and Rita, and you know the runaway gas prices, and of course the Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers.
You know, I remember about 10 years ago or so, I've forgotten all the terrible things that happened to the British monarchy. One of their mansions burned with a bunch of
artifacts. Charles and Diana divorced, part of Buckingham Palace burned.
Right. And somebody said something to the Queen. They were talking to her, and she said, "Yes, this is annus horribilis."
Yes.
Meaning the horrible year.
And
that's what this seems to be happening to Mr. Bush and to the Republicans. Of course, you got did you mention the delay indictment and the Frist controversy?
Oh, forgot about that. Sorry.
and all that. I mean, not only the delay indictment, but Tom DeLay, the Republican leader in the House has actually been arrested and is going to go on trial.
Yes, he's been indicted and booked, and yes, he will be going on trial.
They say on the flimsiest of issues, and it very well may be, but regardless, all of this is starting to get some critical mass, and the only if there's any good news, Joan, for the Republicans, it's that it's not an election year.
That's right. I think their hope is that this is all going to fade and everybody's going to forget all this by a year from now.
A year makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Oh, sure.
And the dies will be cast. The issues will be resolved. I think all of these issues, I think, will be resolved one way or the other. None of them, I think, are rising to the level that it could take more than a year, more than a few months to resolve. I think they'll get resolved, and we'll know one way or the other. And whatever damage will have been done will be history probably a year from now.
Well, and over and over again, we always say that people really do vote their pocketbooks. So I think a lot will depend on the state of the economy by the election.
If gas prices go down and we don't have a bad hurricane year next year and, the Tooth Fairy comes and the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, all that stuff, we'll be okay. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest, and she and I will be right back after these messages. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, I said that the only good news that the Republicans have right now is it's not an election year, but actually there is one other bit of good news. The Democrats have no ideas. The Democrats are unarmed. The Democrats, and I say this in a very apolitical, agnostic way, Joan, that the Democrats can only make progress, it seems to me, when the Republicans fall, and when they can be taking shots at the Republicans. They don't seem to be able to come up with any kind of policy that is compelling to anybody outside of their hardcore base. So I guess that's an advantage for the Republicans.
Well, I just want to make sure that nobody thinks that that's in the Kiplinger letter. The Kiplinger letter does not say the Democrats have no idea.
This is in the Blassingame letter.
Okay, and
listen, I would
talk about the Kiplinger letter.
I'm dissing. I'm an equal opportunity disser.
Joan. I'm not sure. No,
yeah,
I don't think so.
I've said before, the Republicans haven't learned how to be the leader, the majority, and the Democrats haven't learned how to be the minority.
Yeah.
And if
you're going to be an equal opportunity disser, you have to admit the Republicans are in a heap of trouble.
No, I said that. No,
yeah, but
no,
I, mean,
I I agree.
But I think it's very possible they're not going to get out of it, and they will have trouble at election
time. I think you very well may be correct. Yeah. No, I agree with you. No, remember what I said, Annus Horribilis. I think it is that year for them, but I do think that the Democrats are going to have to come up with something other than we don't like Republicans and you shouldn't either. As a model, as any kind of
right.
a policy.
Well, and as the letter says, the Democrats need to come up with a message that resonates with voters and a strong leader capable of delivering it.
But here's also what the Kiplinger letter says, folks, and you see if that doesn't kind of say what I just said. The Democrats' only real hope, I circled that in red and have it highlighted, Joan, the Democrats' only real hope is that GOP problems multiply. Now, is that not what I just said?
Well, no. I think what we're saying, this is funny. I'm enjoying this.
Go ahead.
I think the context you're putting in is saying the Democrats have no ideas, therefore their only hope is that the GOP problems get worse.
Right.
But you're misrepresenting the Kiplinger letter because you have to go back and what the prior thing we said, we're setting up the Democrats' only real hope was set up by a look at the numbers.
Right, right.
We're asking the question, could the Democrats take control of Congress? And the numbers are against them because the best way for them to do that is to be going after uncontested seats. And there just aren't enough of those.
Well, and Joan, as my audience knows, I don't have to have the Kiplinger letter to come up with my opinions. I have plenty of my own. But I thought it was funny that the Nelson boys are having a little trouble in the Senate. They seem to be a little bit in danger, according to Kiplinger. The Nelson boys, one from Florida and one from Nebraska.
Yeah, well, the one I'm interested in is Mr. Santorum in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. He's a Republican.
But,
he's a Republican.
He's in trouble.
Yeah, he's in trouble, but he's a conservative in a pretty moderate state. In fact, I'm not even sure moderate would qualify that state.
Makes me wonder how he got elected the first time.
Yeah, well, that's true. In that state, I don't disagree with that. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how all this works out. But Kiplinger does say, and of course, if Kiplinger says it, Joan, this must make it correct, right?
Absolutely.
Kiplinger does say that you think that the Republicans will not lose the House and the Senate.
Right.
And they're probably not going to lose the White House next year either, right?
Next year? No.
Yeah, they're probably not going to
lose that.
They're probably going to keep the White House next year too, right? Joan, let's move over and talk about the federal deficit. There's a deadlock over budget cuts. There are a number of people in Congress who are saying, in order to pay for all the stuff that we got to pay for with all the hurricanes and rebuilding of the Gulf Coast and all that, we need to go back and relook at some of the money that we have lined up for our districts and see if we can't pull some of that money back and spend it maybe a little bit differently. And that's caused some heated exchanges on the Senate and the House floor, hasn't it?
Well, yes, apparently. I guess, you know, they keep trying to trim the pork, and the pork beneficiaries don't want them to.
Mr. Coburn out of Oklahoma, isn't he the guy who's sticking his finger in a lot of folks' eye, a lot of the senators' eyes over there?
I think that's right. And the one I'm thinking of who got his eye stuck is Senator Stevens of Alaska.
Ted Stevens, the king of pork, I think they call him.
I think so.
Yeah. How much is the bridge that he's going to build to an island where there are 50 people live?
Oh, a couple trillion, I think.
No. But it's a lot. It's like hundreds of millions or something. I forgot. It's a whole lot of money. He's building a bridge to two islands that according to Mr. Coburn, have a few dozen people living on them. Is that right?
And he calls himself a Republican.
Well, and this is very interesting. No, this is a good. You make a good point, Joan. So, to me, I've decided, and I said this a while back, that it's not the Republicans who are the Democrats who are the big spenders. It's whoever's in power are the big spenders.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, it just seems pork is so endemic to the whole system. It doesn't seem to matter who's in power.
It's the drug, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it the drug of choice?
That's one way to look at it.
Quick break. We're going to, where there's a new sheriff in town at the Fed. coming up. And we're going to come back after these messages and talk about that guy and some of the policies of the Fed and how it's going to affect you and me and our small businesses right after these messages. It's 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Advocate.com. It's a little bit of small business nirvana. When you get there, I think you'll find some really cool stuff that will help you. We got a lot of different voices there, not just mine. In fact, I'm one of only about 500. But, of course, I'm always with one of those 500, but never mind that. You can find a lot of good stuff there, archives and articles and shows that go back. You can archives go back to 99, ladies and gentlemen. And the only reason they go back to 99 is we lost the early years, Joan Pride. Joan's with us. She's senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, we lost the early years.
You did.
You know, remember the Carson, the early years, those different things that, you know, the Honeymooners, you know, the Honeymooners, the early years. Well, we lost the early years, Joan.
Oh, no.
And they're lost to posterity, and the Library of Congress is just devastated about that. but anyway, you can go back and listen. You can go back and listen to our shows all the way back to 99, and some of them are pretty funny, folks. You might want to check those out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes on Sunday by email. Don't forget to subscribe to my blog, Jim's blog. On the homepage, you can link to that, or go to jimsblog.biz, and you can subscribe by really simple syndication from the website there. We show you how to do that, all of that, and it comes every day, every weekday. If you can't wait till Sunday, and you just can't wait to hear more and more from me, the blog is the way to do it. Joan, we have lots of people who just can't wait to hear from me. They got to have more of me every day. What do you think?
If you say so.
Well, you know, some people don't have a life, but we try to help those people out all we can. Joan, let's move down and talk about the news at the Fed. Mr. Bernanke, Ben Bernanke.
Yes, we're going to have a new Fed chairman.
Yeah.
Which I guess will happen, what, January? I mean, assuming he gets confirmed on time.
It was January 31st, I think, okay. is the Fed meeting, the first Fed meeting in 2006.
Okay.
And apparently he will be there. Now, I understand that it's been traditional for the outgoing Fed chairman not to make the last meeting, but apparently this time he is the Mr. Just to sort of let the new guy get settled in. Apparently that's not going to happen this time. Mr. Greenspan is going to make that meeting. I understand.
Oh.
Of course, the world is all a Twitter over that, too. But Joan, what do we know about Mr. Bernanke? What is Kiplinger saying about that? I know you guys are reporting that probably next week, but can you give us a little peek?
Well, I don't know what they're going to report, but I can tell you that he's a well-respected economist, and he would appeal to Wall Street and Main Street. I guess there's some question as to whether he would be as much of a supply sider as some of the far right would want him to be, but mm-hmm. he's certainly, a choice that should be well received in the Senate, which is what I guess the president feels he needs right now.
Well, he was, Mr. Greenspan was a disciple of Ayn Rand. And so that gave him pretty significant credential. And I don't know how Mr. Bernanke feels about that, but he does seem to be, the people that I've talked to tell me that, and one Richard DeCaser yesterday on the show basically said that he might not be a full-fledged supply sider, but he's not a hand-wringer over the deficits.
Yeah.
He's not somebody who thinks we should raise taxes to get rid of the deficits. He does believe the market marketplace, being productive can take care of that. I think that's the way he feels. And that makes him, if not a supply sider, certainly favorably disposed toward supply side economics, which my audience knows I am an absolute out of control supply sider. But Joan, also,
the first step to admitting it is the first step.
Oh, listen, I've admitted it for a long time. That's a badge of honor for me as a supply sider. I wear that as a badge of honor. But also, he's a free trader. And you know what? Anybody who's a free trader can't be all wrong.
Sure. No,
I think that's going to be good. Most people say, Joan, I think they're going to say that they don't see him, at least for a year or so, making that much of a departure, if any, from the policies of Mr. Greenspan.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's pretty tough on inflation, as Mr. Greenspan has been,
right.
And I think people expect that to continue.
But, you know, Joan, the other thing, and Richard pointed this out yesterday, and we've talked about this many times on the show during our FedWatch meetings, our FedWatch shows, there are 19 people sitting at that table. There are 7 governors counting the chairman and 12 bank presidents. A total of 5 don't vote, so 14 vote in any given year. 19 are at the table who get to give their comments. So it's not just, we give a lot of heft to Mr. Greenspan. He certainly has that. But there are more than just him who are involved in our monetary policy.
Yeah.
Quick break, right back with Joan Pride after these messages. We've got a lot more to come. Stay with us. 20 till.
I'm over my head.
Welcome back. It's 17 till 43 after the hour. Depending on how you want to look at it, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride is here, too, and she's one of those people who, along with me, encourage you to do it or die, folks. We know what you're going through. I certainly do, and Joan has a great deal of affection and admiration for what you're doing as a small business owner, don't you, Joan?
Absolutely, no question.
So keep on working, folks. Don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. Joan, Kiplinger has an outstanding website, kiplinger.com, where they can subscribe to your publications.
I can agree to that, too.
I love it when you agree with me, John. I love you when you say I'm right. And the Kiplinger Letter is the weekly publication. It's now in its 83rd year that we work off of every week. But you have 3 biweekly letters, the Tax Letter, the California Letter, and the Agriculture Letter. Those of you farmers who I'm also very proud of, having been one of you for many years in an earlier part of my life, I have a great deal of affection for our farmers. Joan, plus you got a magazine too, don't you?
We sure do. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And that's available at newsstands or at kiplinger.com, but there's also a phone number, right?
You bet. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And just to make sure that you absolutely are happy with your purchase, Kiplinger will give you a 30-day free trial, and I hope you'll take advantage of that. Joan, let's talk about productivity. Some people say that we've wrung all the productivity out of the economy, that computer advances have just about played out, and what does Kiplinger has to say about that?
Well, we're being optimistic about this. We think that there's still room for growth, and it's going to keep on going, we say, for the next decade or so. You know, productivity was the thing that kind of bedeviled Mr. Greenspan for a while there.
He didn't believe his own eyes, did he?
He didn't believe his own statistics.
If I were going to ask Mr. Bernanke anything, mm-hmm. I would say, Mr. Bernanke, do you believe the new economy? Do you believe the power of the new economy? And I do believe there is a new economy, folks. Not new rules, but there are new tools. And I'd like to ask him that question. Maybe I'll get a chance to do that. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, that we think that, and we're saying, I guess, between 2 and 2.5% a year. And we're saying that, you may say that, well, computers are everywhere. Where they're not.
Right.
We need them in healthcare. I think mm-hmm. healthcare really could use computers. We're saying better broadband, wireless communications, and we're going to have better computer chips. So there really is more room for improvement.
Well, the people who say that we've wrung out the productivity, I think they don't get the new economy, Joan. And what they're not paying attention to is wireless. wireless is increasing productivity like crazy. Also, nanotechnology. Technology
which
at the
Kiplinger has written about.
Exactly. And we reported on that a little bit earlier this week, Joan. Nanotechnology is productivity at the molecular level. Contemplate that for a minute.
I can. That's just beyond.
Think about that.
I'm
talking about technology in paints and in coatings and in wires.
Yeah.
I mean, at the molecular level. Think about that. I mean, that's and the thing is, we're going to have productivity, Joan, in the future in ways that we can't even comprehend right now.
Yeah.
And the good news, Joan, as you remember, or as you know, through studying history, a lot of times somebody would invent something, and by the time the transfer happened to the marketplace, it could have been years. Today, it's months, isn't it?
Yeah. It's amazing how fast these things move.
I mean, I remember reading Popular Science, Joan, you know, 40 years ago, about something that was going to be invented, and maybe you saw it in 15 years. Today, if you read it in Popular Science, you know, today is something coming in the future. You could be seeing it by next summer.
It's already on the way.
And that's what I mean. I think that's what Kiplinger means when we say that, you know, don't give up on the productivity thing. It's still here because there's still a lot. I mean, I think we're going to be amazed, Joan, at what we're going to see in 5 years.
Well, and thank goodness, because that's really going to be an engine that drives the economy, despite
right.
some of these problems that we're having.
Well, and that's what the United States needs to make sure we stay ahead of the curve on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the area, not so much manufacturing, but that kind of thing. I think is where we need to stake our claim for the future. Joan, business travel is going to get more expensive, Kiplinger says this week.
Boy, it sure is. We're saying that hotel rates going up 5%, car rentals up 7%. We're going back to hotels for a minute. It's not just that room rates are going up, but their fees are going to go up. They're going to add more fees for different services.
Right.
Because they're trying to improve the bottom line.
I'm still amazed at how inexpensive airline travel is, Joan. And I got to be thinking by now that with the cost of fuel, that you got to be thinking about parking your jet and taking regular airline like the rest of us schmucks.
Well, it has crossed my mind. I'll admit that.
I got to be thinking, you know, before long. I mean, I know you'd want to go only first class, but
if you're going to have a private jet, what's the point of having it if you're not going to use it?
Well, I guess you're right. I didn't know, you know, where you were on the fuel thing, but you'll have to keep me posted on that. Joan, small businesses, according to Kiplinger, have had the worst impact, have been impacted the worst. And I said this a month ago, more than a month ago, because of Katrina. It's been ugly, hasn't it?
It sure has. We're saying most of the small businesses that were shuttered by Katrina will probably never reopen.
Yeah. I've met a few of those guys. I was in Houston a couple of weeks ago, and I met some of those people who were basically refugees from over there. And I'll tell you, it really breaks my heart, Joan, to think about those family businesses that were working hard. They were trying to make a go of it. Many of them weren't trying to get rich. They weren't able to get rich. They were just making a good living, providing a good service for their customers, providing payroll for their employees. And now that's gone. It's literally been washed away, and it breaks my heart. And whatever we can do to help them get going again, we're going to try to do that. Ten Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. Here's The Who to take us out.
From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That damn dumb flying kid sure plays a mean pinball.
I see life and it's passing right before my eyes. And the best is the best. Don't regret it.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that the next time you hear me, I will be, that is unless you subscribe to the blog or you go back and listen to the archives, but the next time you hear me live, I'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, broadcasting from the Tulsa Chamber of Commerce's technology program over there. I'm going to be moderating a discussion on small businesses tomorrow morning after the show. I'm going to be giving the keynote speech at lunch. And Joan, have you ever been to Tulsa?
Oh gosh, about 20 years ago.
I have been to Tulsa. It's about 20 years ago, too, myself. It's a rocking place. It's a happening place over there, isn't it?
Wow, that's great.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Boy, they got things going on over there. And of course, you know, the fact that they've invited me, that what does that say about their intelligence?
Well, that shows they are
highly, highly intelligent people. And very discerning, too, by the way. Joan, one thing I forgot to mention is when we were talking about business travel, Kiplinger points out this week that we should not be available. I'm sorry, we should not be afraid to buy a ticket from an airline that we're worried about that might be failing. Why is that?
Well, there's a law that requires other airlines to honor tickets, you know, if space is available, if the airline, if an airline stops flying. And I guess that law is going to expire, but we're saying Congress is going to extend it.
Yeah. So, folks, don't be worried about that. And they all have safety standards that they have to comply with. So,
right.
I mean, I've been U.S. Air. I flew on U.S. Air many times while they were in bankruptcy. I guess, is Delta in right now? They're in right now, aren't they? And I'll be flying on them pretty soon. So don't worry about that. Joan, let's move over and talk about global economic growth. You say that you guys report that global gross domestic product will grow at 3% next year. That's off a little bit. I didn't realize global it was 3.2. I guess China really pumps it up there, coming in at about 9%.
Yeah, because I don't think Europe is going gangbusters.
Europe is barely off of the peg. I mean, their needle is like languishing. They're like at 1.1 or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Right. Well, Japan's doing well. So if you've got Japan, China, and the United States doing well, that probably pulls a lot of other countries along.
We have needed Japan. The world economy has really needed Japan to come back to the marketplace, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And they seem to be, because it seems like people are investing in Japan again, Joan. They're getting interested in that again. So that's
well, yeah, thank goodness.
You say you guys report that the businesses are bullish in Japan for the first time in 15 years.
Gee.
That's a long time, isn't it? Is there an echo in here? But Joan, you guys report that China is going to weaken a little bit to 8.5%.
Yeah.
Think about that, Joan. They're going to be softening. Their economy is softening all the way down to
8.5%.
If we had 8.5% growth, we'd all be on Valium over here, Joan.
Mr. Greenspan would jump out a window.
He would have already committed Harry Carey or
He'd
something.
He'd have already raised interest rates 5 points.
He wouldn't have made it to now, that's for sure. But I read recently that China, their economy is actually 9% plus through the first three quarters already this year.
Gee.
So they just had a lot of room. You know, Joan, 20 years ago, China had no economy.
Well, that's true.
They were reporting zero economy, basically.
So they do have a lot of room to grow.
A lot of making up. But now the bad news is they're sucking up our resources, Joan.
You bet.
Petroleum, steel, concrete,
yeah, see, they're a
lumber.
Huge petroleum user now. That's a little scary when you think about it.
Well, and see, that's where a lot of the sustained increases in prices of petroleum is going to be what is going to be caused by, and that's the growth of those countries, India and Japan and China. Well, we need to help them find oil in their own part of the world over there, Joan.
Yeah,
we need to go over there and help them drill for oil over there.
Right.
Joan, I was talking about the raw materials. China is the strain on raw materials, but you guys report that it's only the tip of the iceberg, right? What we're seeing right now.
We're saying look out the next decade because things are just only going to grow, and not just in China, but also other developing nations: India, Brazil, Pakistan, Indonesia. They're all going to need raw materials.
Yeah, and you know, Joan, everybody says, well, you know, when you have a hurricane, that actually is a good thing for the local economy in some ways because it increases the building, but it also raises prices on raw materials, which may be okay, you know, if you're trying to rebuild New Orleans, but it doesn't help you if you live in Sheboygan or Portland or Bangor. Because you
or
got
Alexandria, Virginia, like myself.
Exactly, because you guys, people out in you know, away from that, you're not being benefited by the higher prices for these resources.
Not at all.
Anyway, Joan, thank you for being here. Good job.
Oh,
today.
Thank you, Jim.
And we'll see you next week.
Sounds great.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, including all those small business owners in Tulsa. I will see you later today. We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Imagine Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.